Judy Parker is 22. She's a medical student. Judy is intelligent and very pretty, with a good sense of humor. She is a nice woman. Her boyfriend's name is Sam Watson. Sam is 27. He works in a bank as assistant manager. He is good-looking, but he is not a very nice man. Judy loves Sam very much. Sam loves money, cars, good food, whiskey, travel, and beautiful women. Judy is worried. She doesn't know where Sam is. The bank manager doesn't know where Sam is either. He is very worried. Sam is in Brazil, in a small town on the coast near Rio de Janeiro, with £50,000 of the bank's money. He is sitting in a bar near the beach, drinking a large martini and writing a letter to Judy.
Rio, Tuesday. Darling Judy, well, here I am in Brazil. It's very warm here, and the sea is nice for swimming. The women here are very beautiful and very, very friendly. But I miss you, Judy. Please, come and stay with me in Brazil. Can you take the 1325 flight from London to Rio on April the 14th? I'll meet you at the airport. Oh, my love, Sam.
Judy is at home. She lives in a small flat near the bank. It's not very nice. She's in the living room, drinking a cup of coffee and thinking. Judy's very worried because she doesn't know what to do. She loves Sam, and she doesn't want to tell the police where he is. But she doesn't want to go to Rio either. She wants a quiet life. Judy goes to the window and looks out. There's a police car in the street. Two big policemen are walking towards her house.
Hello? Is that Croxton 43122? Dr. Wagner? Listen, Dr. Wagner, this is Judy. Yes, Judy Parker. Listen, I'm in very bad trouble. Can you help? Trouble with Sam and the bank and the police. I haven't got time to explain. Yes, okay. Please come to my house at once with your car, as fast as you can. It's really urgent. 23 Carlton Road. Turn right at the station, and it's the second street on your left. Please hurry. Oh, and come to the back door.
Dr. Wagner and Judy are on their way to the airport in Dr. Wagner's car. There is another car behind them, with a pretty blue lamp on top. Dr. Wagner accelerates, and the police car disappears.
But what's the problem, Judy?
I can't explain. It's too complicated.
I know what it is. It's that Sam. I don't like him at all. He's a very dishonest young man.
Sam is my boyfriend, and I love him. He has sensitive eyes and beautiful hands. Single to Rio de Janeiro, please.
First class or tourist?
Oh, tourist, please.
Judy checks in and goes through passport control to the departure gate. On the plane, she finds a seat by the window. A young man comes and sits down by her. Judy looks at him. He is tall and dark, about 25, and very well dressed. Judy is not interested in him. He has dark brown eyes, a straight nose, a wide, humorous mouth, and strong brown hands with long, sensitive fingers. He is incredibly handsome. Judy looks out of the window.
It's a long story. Part 8.
Excuse me, would you like a drink?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. A whiskey, please.
The young man gave Judy her drink and smiled at her. He had an incredibly attractive smile. He really looked very nice. Calm, friendly, and kind. Perhaps he's a doctor, she thought. A surgeon with those strong, sensitive hands. Or perhaps an artist. Or a musician. Yes, he looked like an artist. She looked at him again and smiled.
What time is it, please?
2:35.
Thank you.
He smiled at her. She smiled back at him. He smiled again. He took a gun out of his pocket, stood up, and walked to the front of the plane.
Excuse me, would you like a drink?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. A whiskey, please.
The young man gave Judy her drink and smiled at her. He had an incredibly attractive smile. He really looked very nice. Calm, friendly, and kind. Perhaps he's a doctor, she thought. A surgeon with those strong, sensitive hands. Or perhaps an artist. Or a musician. Yes, he looked like an artist. She looked at him again and smiled.
What time is it, please?
2:35.
Thank you.
He smiled at her. She smiled back at him. He smiled again. He took a gun out of his pocket, stood up, and walked to the front of the plane.
Good afternoon. This is your hijacker speaking. We are now flying at 550 miles per hour at a height of 29,000 feet. In approximately 1.5 hours, we will be over the north of Scotland. I wish you a pleasant flight.
Judy's head was going round and round. First Sam, then the police, and now the hijacker. Where would it all end? Life was really much too complicated. She drank her whiskey. It didn't make any difference. She looked out of the window. The sky was full of big, dark clouds. So was her head. Sometime later, the plane started going down. The pilot's door opened, and the hijacker came out, still holding his gun. He walked up to her and smiled.
You know, you really are extremely beautiful. Come and put on your parachute.
Judy fainted. Judy opened her eyes. The sun was shining, and a cool wind was blowing on her face. She felt very light and happy.
Where am I?
100 feet above Loch Ness. Can you swim?
Judy fainted again. When she opened her eyes, she was lying on the bank of the loch, with her head on her parachute.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Jasper MacDonald.
Why did you hijack the plane?
It's my birthday. Now let's go to my castle and find some dry clothes.
It didn't take long to get to Jasper's castle. It was an enormous building, about 1/2 mile from Loch Ness, with tall towers, battlements and a moat, and at least 200 rooms.
What a place!
Well, it's not much, but it's home. Let me show you to your room, and I'll see if I can find you some of my sister's clothes.
Judy's room was about 10 minutes' walk from the main entrance, up a lot of stairs and along a lot of corridors. It was beautiful, decorated in light blue and lilac, with some wonderful pieces of antique furniture. There was a splendid view of the loch and the mountains.
This is lovely. How many of you live here?
Just my sister and I. And the ghost, of course. See you later.
Judy had a bath and then put on some of Jasper's sister's clothes. They fitted her perfectly. She looked at herself in the mirror, smiled, frowned, and went downstairs.
Hello. Did I tell you how beautiful you are?
Yes, you did.
Fine. Let me show you around the castle before tea.
But I don't want to stay for tea.
This part of the castle was built in 1480.
I want to go to Rio.
This is a portrait of my ancestor, Donald MacDonald.
I want to see my boyfriend, Sam.
He was a friend of King James VI.
I love him.
James VI?
No, you fool. My boyfriend, Sam.
Oh, Sam Watson. You don't want to see him.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. This is a portrait of my ancestor, MacDonald MacDonald.
How do you know Sam?
He was a friend of King Robert the Bruce.
Sam?
No, you fool. MacDonald. You don't want to see Sam. You want to stay here with me. I love you.
Out of a door came an old man with white hair and very strange clothes. He was carrying his head under his arm. He looked very like the portrait.
Who's that?
The ghost.
You don't want to go and see Sam. You want to stay here with Jasper.
Sam Watson was standing at the arrivals gate at Rio Airport, holding a bunch of flowers. He was worried. Judy's plane was 3 hours late, and nobody knew why. Sam walked over to the bar and had a drink. He walked back to the arrivals gate. No news. He walked back to the bar and had another drink. Still no news. Back to the bar. 2 hours and 8 drinks later, Judy's plane landed. And after another half hour, the passengers started coming out. Sam smiled and looked for Judy. After a time, he stopped smiling. Finally, the last passenger came through. It wasn't Judy. Sam said a big bad word. What had happened? He went over to the information desk.
My name's Sam Watson. Have you got any messages for me?
Yes. A telephone message from Scotland.
Mr. Sam Watson, Rio Airport. Have a nice holiday. Don't come back. Love, Jasper MacDonald.
Sam said another big bad word, tore up the paper, and gave the flowers to the stewardess.
What time's the next plane to London?
Behind Sam, a tall, beautiful girl was listening to his conversation. When she heard the word London, she smiled. As the night plane took off, Sam closed his eyes. He loved traveling, but he was always a little afraid of flying. He couldn't really understand how the plane stayed up in the air. Also, he was worried about what would happen to him. Would there be detectives waiting for him at London Airport? It was crazy to leave Brazil. In Brazil, there was sun, freedom, and beautiful women. He could live happily for years with his £50,000. In Britain, there was rain, trouble, policemen, and a strong chance of prison. But he had to see Judy. Judy was different. Judy was special. Sam smiled and opened his eyes. Next to him, there was sitting a tall, incredibly beautiful girl.
Hello. My name's Sam.
I know. My name's Detective Sergeant Honeybone.
Sam closed his eyes again. When Judy woke up the next morning, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, and everything was beautiful. Her room was lovely, and she felt fine. There was a knock on the door, and in walked the ghost, carrying a cup of tea.
Did you sleep well?
Yes, beautifully. And thank you for a wonderful dinner last night.
The ghost blushed.
Not at all. It was just a simple meal. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The evening before, after a magnificent dinner, cooked by the ghost, Judy and Jasper had talked far into the night. About life, love, art, death, music, books, travel, philosophy, religion, politics, economics, astronomy, biochemistry, archaeology, motor racing, and many other subjects. Most of all, they had talked about themselves. And when they had said goodnight, Jasper had kissed her, very gently. She could still feel the touch of his lips, What a perfect evening. Judy smiled at the memory. She stopped smiling. She had to go to Rio to see Sam. Sam was her boyfriend. She loved him. The sun went behind a cloud. The birds stopped singing. Judy started getting dressed as fast as she could. When Sam woke up, he felt terrible. He had a headache, and there was a horrible taste in his mouth. He looked out of the window. The sun was shining, and through a gap in the clouds, he could see the sea. It was a long way down. Sam shivered and turned to look at Detective Sergeant Honeybone. She looked fresh and lovely, even more beautiful than the evening before.
Good morning. Did you sleep well?
No. Excuse me.
He got up and walked forward to the toilets. After a wash and a shave, Sam felt a little better. He brushed his hair, put his jacket back on, and looked at his tongue in the mirror. Not a pretty sight. Sam put his tongue back in, took out his gun, and looked at his watch. Time to move. He came out of the toilet, glanced around quickly, and then walked to the front of the plane. Opening the door of the cockpit, he stepped inside.
This is a hijack. Take me to Loch Ness.
Oh, God. Not again. What's so special about Loch Ness?
Jasper McDonald.
Judy ran downstairs and into the dining room. No Jasper. Only the ghost.
Can I help you? Would you like some breakfast?
Where's Jasper?
He's gone out.
Oh, dear. Lend me a pen and paper, could you?
Quickly, she wrote a note to Jasper.
Dear Jasper, it was wonderful, but I have to go. I'm sorry. I wanted to say goodbye to you, but perhaps it is better like this. Thank you for a beautiful memory, Judy.
She said goodbye to the ghost, who looked sad, and walked out of the castle. Not far along the road, there was a bus stop. If she could get to Inverness before lunch, she could catch the afternoon plane to London and buy some new clothes before catching the night flight to Rio. Tomorrow morning, she could be in Sam's arms. How wonderful. Judy started crying. At the bus stop, Judy read the timetable. Buses for Inverness ran every 3 hours, but she was lucky. There was one in 20 minutes. As she stood waiting, she looked out over the lake. A few hundred yards away, there was a man fishing in a boat. She could hear him singing in the clear, still air. He had a wonderful voice, a voice that Judy recognized. And he was singing an old Scottish love song. It was Jasper. Tears came into Judy's eyes, and she looked away from the boat, up into the peaceful sky. High above Loch Ness, a golden eagle was flying in circles. There were pretty little clouds looking like splashes of white paint against the deep blue. And two parachutes. Sam and Detective Sergeant Honeybone hit the water together. Sam went under and came up.
Help!
He shouted, going under again.
I can't swim!
He shouted as he came up again and went under for the third time. Sam's life passed in front of his eyes as he went down, down, down into the green water. His childhood in London, visiting his mother and father in prison, his first girlfriend, his first bank robbery. Judy. Judy. He would never see her again.
Don't worry, you lovely man. I'm an Olympic 400-meter gold medalist.
Detective Sergeant Honeybone swam over to Sam with beautiful, strong strokes, caught him under the arms as he came up again, and started pulling him towards the boat.
Hello, Isabel. What are you doing here, and why have you got Sam with you? He's the last person I want to see.
It's a long story. I'll tell you later. Wait while I give Sam the kiss of life.
I don't need the kiss of life.
Oh, yes, you do.
All right. I suppose we'd better go back to the castle and find you some dry clothes. Pity. I was hoping for a quiet morning's fishing.
Jasper rowed the boat over to the bank of the loch, and they got out. Detective Sergeant Honeybone picked up Sam in her beautiful, strong arms, and they started walking down the road towards the castle. As they passed the bus stop, Jasper walked over to Judy, who was staring up at the sky.
Good morning, you beautiful creature. Going shopping? Don't forget lunch is at 12:30.
Judy turned her back, tears streaming down her face.
Don't talk to me about lunch. I'm going to Rio to see Sam.
But Sam's here.
Don't try to talk me out of it. I've made up my mind and I... What did you say?
She turned round and looked across the road. There was Detective Sergeant Honeybone, standing with a soft smile on her lips, looking down at Sam, who was lying in her arms with his eyes closed. Judy's mouth fell open.
Who is that woman?
May I introduce my sister, Isabel? Isabel, this is Judy.
If you're Jasper's sister, why is your name Honeybone?
Oh, it's a long story. Give me a kiss, Sam. Put that man down at once.
Ladies.
Who is that woman? Why is she wearing my sweater? Sam, get down. He's not feeling very strong.
That's all right. I'm a medical student. I'll look after him.
Oh, no. You're not playing doctors with my Sam.
Lady.
He's not your Sam. He's my Sam.
Take my sweater off at once.
Ladies, please.
Shut up!
Sam, protect me from this mad woman.
It's all right, Sam. Don't pay any attention to her. I'll look after you.
Sam, where are you going?
Sam! Come back!
Northeast Highlands Police Control calling all cars. Calling all cars. The hijackers of the Boeing 707 from Rio are believed to be in the Loch Ness area after leaving the plane by parachute about 20 minutes ago. Proceed at once to the vicinity of Castle Clan Donald and begin searching. Description as follows. Man, British, medium height, dark hair, small moustache, small brown eyes, wearing a blue suit and black shoes. He is believed to be Sam Watson, who is wanted in connection with a series of bank robberies. He is carrying a gun and may be dangerous. Woman, nationality unknown, tall, blonde, blue eyes. Attractive, athletic build, wearing dark clothes and shoes. Nothing is known about her identity. Approach these people with caution. Repeat, approach with caution.
When Jock McCafferty was a little boy, he always wanted to be a bus driver. His father hoped he would go into the family business, and his mother would have liked him to be a doctor. But Jock just wasn't interested. He loved buses, all kinds of buses. He loved the way they looked, the smell of the diesel fuel, and most of all, the wonderful noise they made. When he was 14, he went on his first real holiday, a bus trip to the south of England and back. And when he left school 2 years later, he went straight into the Highland Bus Company. Now, Jock was one of the company's most experienced drivers, working on the Fort William Inverness route. This morning was fairly typical. He had 8 passengers on board, and would probably pick up one or two more on the way. They were about 20 minutes late. Jock had stopped for a cup of tea and a chat at Strathnohulish post office, but it didn't matter. Late was not a word of any great importance in the Scottish Highlands. Jock leaned forward a little in his seat and smiled. It was a lovely day. The sun was shining on the loch, and the bus was running beautifully. Jock changed gear as they started up the long hill towards Clandonald Castle.
The Loch Ness Monster. Loch Ness is an immensely deep lake in the northeastern highlands of Scotland. It is overlooked by brooding hills and wild moorland. The perfect setting for strange and unexplained events. In 1933, a motorist on the new Lakeside Road saw a tremendous upheaval in the loch. The waters churned and boiled as a huge monster, its body the size of a whale, broke the surface. The incident was reported in the local paper, and soon the national press was buzzing with news of what came to be called the Loch Ness Monster. But legends of large water creatures in Loch Ness go back much further than 1933. In the 6th century AD, the Irish missionary St. Columba was said to have banished a monster which had attacked a swimmer. And local folk tales going back centuries speak of water horses and water bulls inhabiting Loch Ness. Scientists have seriously suggested that large creatures may have been stranded in the loch when 60 million years ago it was cut off from the sea. Perhaps their descendants live there still. But despite hazy photographs, mostly highly magnified, of strange humps in the water, there is very little evidence as yet to go on.
In her black Porsche, Dr. Wagner was getting a little impatient. She was in a hurry to get to her hotel in Inverness and have a bath and a rest after driving overnight from London. But for the last 15 miles, she had been stuck behind a bus that was driving very slowly in the middle of the road, and it seemed impossible to get past. "Calm down, Mary," she said to herself. "You've got plenty of time." She started thinking about the holiday that was just starting. Every year, she drove up to the Scottish Highlands and spent 2 weeks looking for the Loch Ness Monster. Dr. Wagner was a member of the West London Society for the Investigation of Strange and Unexplained Phenomena, and she was very interested in monsters, ghosts, flying saucers, and things of that kind. She had never yet seen anything in Loch Ness, but she always had a wonderful holiday and went back home feeling happy and relaxed. She had a feeling about this year, though. This year was going to be special. Somehow, she just knew. A sudden noise brought her out of her dreams. She looked in the mirror. Behind her, the road was full of police cars, with lights flashing and sirens howling. Dr. Wagner frowned. She didn't like police cars.
"It's no use making all that noise. You'll never get past the bus."
Down at the bottom of Loch Ness, things were very calm. The monster scratched her ear with the third leg on the right and decided that it was time to do something. She didn't usually go up to the surface during the day because the light hurt her eyes. But she was getting bored out of her mind sitting down at the bottom of the loch with nothing to do except talk to the fish. She scratched her ear again, yawned, stretched, and started swimming slowly up towards the light. 5 minutes later, the monster reached the surface, stuck her head and 15 meters of neck out of the water, and looked around. She closed her eyes and opened them again. It was a little difficult to understand what was happening. Scotland was generally a fairly quiet place, but today a lot of things seemed to be going on. On the bank of the loch, two women were fighting. A man was trying to stop them. Another man was trying to learn to swim. The road was full of cars with pretty blue lights on top coming from all directions. A helicopter landed on the bank of the loch, and some soldiers got out and lay down. There was a bus driving along very slowly with the driver looking out of the window. The bus driver caught sight of the monster and drove into the loch. The two women stopped fighting and stood with their mouths open. All the police cars crashed into each other. A sports car stopped, and a woman got out and started taking photographs. It was all too much. The monster closed her eyes and went back down to the bottom of the loch.
"Hello, Judy. What are you doing here? I thought you were in Rio."
"It's a long story. I'll tell you later."
"Did you see the monster?"
Wasn't she just wonderful? I got hundreds of photos.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think this is a very good time to go on holiday. Isabel, go and get Sam out of the water and follow us up to the castle. Judy, come with me. I hope the ghost remembered to fill the plane up with petrol.
Ghost? You have a ghost in your castle. A ghost.
Come along with us and you can meet him. But hurry.
20 seconds later, they drove in through the front gate of the castle in Dr. Wagner's Porsche. And a minute or so after that, Isabel ran up carrying Sam over her shoulder. The ghost closed the gate and led the way to the back of the castle. There, standing on the grass, shining in the sun, was a powerful-looking six-seater aeroplane.
Get in! We haven't got a moment to lose.
Can I come too? I must talk to that beautiful ghost.
Of course, but get in fast, or you'll be talking to our wonderful police. Fasten seatbelts, everybody. Take off in 15 seconds.
Where are we going?
Rio. Well, that's where you wanted to go, isn't it?
Sounds good to me.
Jasper, I have been a blind fool. I love you.
As the plane flew peacefully southwest across the Atlantic, Judy put her head on Jasper's shoulder and closed her eyes.
I'm so glad I'm in love with you instead of Sam. It's much nicer. I'm sure we're going to be very happy together. Do you think the others will be all right?
I think so.
Judy listened to the fragments of conversation that came from the seats behind.
Isabel, you're my favorite detective. Will you teach me to swim?
Have some more champagne, Ghost.
Yes, please. Call me MacDonald.
You've got beautiful eyes, Sam.
Can ghosts get married? Sounds all right. Tell me, are you really terribly rich? How did you get your money? What do you do, actually? How did you get to know Sam? Why did you really hijack that plane?
I'll tell you later. It's a long story.